Good morning. How awesome. Who loved that worship time? Wow, praise God. Praise God. Wow. It's exciting, isn't it? All the Christmas trees. Who loves the Christmas trees? Yeah. Looks awesome. We're coming into that time of the year, aren't we? That season that we love so much. But we love it because of the person, the reason for the season, which of course is King Jesus. And the story behind King Jesus. And what King Jesus achieved. And what King Jesus is achieving. And what King Jesus is going to achieve into the eternities. I said into the eternities. Yeah. This is exciting time. And I get a sense that we're stepping into a Christmas like no other. There's a shift in the hearts of people. You know, there's a shift in the hearts of people. You know, there might be a sense of a lack of confidence in leadership in our Western society and in institutions, but I do sense that there is an intrigue and an interest in the man Jesus Christ. And that's incredible. That's incredible that that's happening. And so I do sense that this Christmas is going to be an incredible season, not only for us, but also for some people that are finding their way to Jesus, that there will be a experience and encounter that they will have with their risen Jesus that is going to radically transform their lives. And I mean radically. Like night and day, radical. It's so exciting. So we're looking forward to that. I was just thinking this week about the fact we've done a number of series this year. Who's enjoyed our series? I think they've been excellent. I just went through them and I think I've counted six plus this one. I hope my maths is correct. We started with hearing the voice of God. Who remembers that? A long time ago. The life of Jesus. Go and make disciples. The church's family. One house, many hands. And lives transformed. Incredible series. Incredible ministry from different people and perspectives that I believe provides us with some significant equipping for the work of the ministry. Not just an intellectual exercise, but rather we're equipping people for the work of your ministry. The work of your ministry. And whether you're evangelizing or whether you're pastoral or whether you're teaching or whatever it might be, that this equipping is critical for us in terms of our effectiveness in ministry. And I think that's been a really wonderful thing about these series. And so we're coming into the last one of the year, the Christmas series, which is He Shall Reign. Who's excited about that? Yeah. Well, I want to let you in on a little secret. He already is. He already is reigning. He's already reigning now. And I guess as we look at some thoughts this morning from the Word of God, it's easy for us to put our hope in the coming Christ. You know, we can sort of go, well, when He comes, everything's going to get fixed. He's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem. He's going to rule the nations. The millennium's going to happen. And everything is going to be all right because Jesus is in control. And whilst I celebrate that, and I love that, and I believe that with all my heart, I also believe it's the same Jesus that's going to be sitting on the natural throne is also sitting on the throne right now. It's the same Jesus, the same power, the same authority. And so I want to make a decision in my life that I put as much hope in the Jesus that's sitting on the throne now as the hope and confidence I put into the Jesus that's coming back when He returns to rule and reign on the earth. Does that make sense to anybody? Because we can fall into that trap of saying it's all too hard right now. The nations are all out of control. Our society is out of control. Everything's out of control. And we just need Jesus to come back and fix everything. And he will. But in the meantime, he's sitting on the throne. And in the meantime, we are the sons and daughters of God. And in the meantime, we have all power and authority in our life to go and bring heaven to earth. Yeah. I pray that that'll be our portion for this Christmas season. Yeah. You know, the Bible teaches us in, I think it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away your confidence, because in your confidence you have a great reward. And it's not talking about our self-confidence, our own abilities, but rather it's our confidence in Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's our confidence in the Word of God. It's our confidence in the Holy Spirit. You see, when we put our confidence into these things alone, there is a great reward that flows from that. And the writer of Hebrews was saying that there are moments in time in which we lose our confidence. Our confidence can be, I guess, attacked, but he says, don't cast it away. Don't cast it away. In fact, when you look at the word cast away, it actually means to throw off like a robe. So don't throw your confidence off like a piece of clothing. In a military sense, it's like a soldier casting away his shield in surrender. You know, in the Greek army, anyone who did that would be put to death. And so we're encouraged from the Word of God not to cast away our confidence in the ruling King Jesus right now, and not to defer it until when he comes. Does that make sense? Because I think we miss so much. We miss so much opportunity. We miss so much in terms of what God can do right now in our own lives, in the lives of those around us, in our communities, in our church groups, in our workplaces. It's the same Jesus. It's the same power, and it's the same authority that we're going for. All right. Now that I've got that out of my system, Luke chapter 1. He shall reign. He already is. Yeah. We're going to read a passage here, quite a famous passage, down in verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. I can understand that. Someone, angel turns up, "Greetings, O favoured one." You'd be thinking, what's coming next? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You should be doing cartwheels right now, I tell you. Let me repeat that. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the Most High, so the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." I said, nothing will be impossible with God. Now, just in case you didn't hear me, I said nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Is that not a beautiful piece of scripture? Is that not a beautiful piece of scripture? I'm just picturing myself there as the angel's talking to Mary. And you've got to love Mary. You have to love her for her attitude. And, you know, she questioned, how's this possible? And then as soon as she got the answer, it was just like, okay, I'm a servant of God. All right, let's make this happen. Yeah. It's pretty good attitude, right? I think we can learn from Mary in many ways. He shall reign. You know, in this passage of Scripture, there's a few, I guess, lessons or pointers that I've found very encouraging to help me remind myself that Jesus is on the throne now. Right? That it's not a different Jesus to the one that's coming back. He's the same Jesus, same Lord, same power. And the first point I wanted to talk about was this idea that we can't always see what Jesus is doing on the throne, right? We can't always see it. We don't always know what's going on. But what we do need to know is that something is always happening on the throne of God. Something is always going on the throne of God. You see, when Jesus went back to heaven, picture this, he's leaving earth and all the disciples are watching him go behind the clouds, and then he appears in the heavenly realm and all the angels are standing around watching this Jesus come up into the heavenly realm, and they're all going, wow, that's him. That's him. He's the one. And he gets to the top. Can you imagine all these angels? Do you know what you're like when you see an important person everyone stops and looks as if to say, that's, you know, whoever. Tim Jones. We've all gone speechless. Oh, is that him? And you can imagine, and God says then, welcome home, son, onto the throne. And there his reign began. What a powerful image. And so he's doing his thing. Now, we can't always see what's going on. And even in the nations, we can't always see. We don't always know. But what I want to express to you this morning is that there is always something, there's always intent. There's always intention. Now, I want to go back to the book of Exodus chapter 15, just to make this point, just to talk about how that God and Jesus go into some detail, this planning, right? And we're reading here in chapter 15 and verse 12, and this is where God was making a covenant with Abram before he became Abraham, right? And in verse 12, it says, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Gets off to a good start, doesn't it? But I will bring judgment upon that nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. It's a funny little verse, isn't it? Now, let's think about this. The children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, 430 years. And maybe 700 years before that, God's saying to Abram, this is how it's all going to play out. This is how it's all going to happen. You're going to die in old age. You're okay. Your descendants are going to end up okay, but they're going to go through a challenge. But they're going to bring them back into this land that I've promised them. But we've got to wait because the Amorites, their sin hasn't got to a point yet that I can make a righteous judgment on them. So in other words, God was working through different nations all at the same time to bring about an outcome. Does that make sense? But if I was an Israelite, I'm going, I'm meant to be God's people, God's son and daughter here. I'm in slavery to the Egyptians. This doesn't quite seem fair to me. And yet, God was working. God was planning. God was scheming. God was being just. You see, God is merciful and just. You see, he gave the Amorites all the time in the world to get their act together. And they were a sinful bunch of people. Read Leviticus 18. They were not nice people. But in his compassion for the broken and the sinner, God allowed things to happen a certain way to his own people until the appointed time. And then at the appointed time, everything fell into place. Does that make sense? Yeah. Everything fell into place. You see, we often come at it from our own perspective. Me. What's God doing for me in my life? And yet there are other factors that God, Jesus on the throne, are working out right now. You see, God and Jesus are working through situations that are so complicated. He's just, he's holy, he's righteous, he's merciful, all of those things. And he's playing that out all the time. All the time. But we don't always see that, do we? We sometimes are going, I just feel like God's just not on the job. Jesus is, must be asleep on the throne, whatever it might be. But no, he's working now. His power is working now. He's orchestrating. He's orchestrating an outcome for you that is honourable and just and above our expectation and our hope. He's working on a solution for your situation right now. I'm telling you, and I think as I read that passage, I got the sense that some people are getting to the point where their time is appointed, that the deliverance is happening, that there is a setting free, that there is an answer to the prayer because God has done his greatest work already. And the time has come to receive your reward, your outcome, your blessing. All right, so I don't want you to sort of think, oh, 430 years, I've got to wait for something to happen. No, no, no. I believe that it's happening now. It's happening now. So if you've got situations in your life, if you've got healing needs in your life, if you've got family needs in your life, if you've got financial needs in your life, if you've got spiritual needs in your life, what I'm telling you is God has been working on your situation the whole time. He hasn't been asleep, and the appointed time is coming and has come. Now. God's doing something. Jesus is reigning on the throne now. He's working it. He's working the room. He's doing what he does. And you're about to receive. You're about to receive. We don't need to wait till when Jesus comes back. We've got confidence in the Jesus sitting on the throne right now. Everyone said? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, which is just after Isaiah chapter 8. So Jesus reigning on the throne is intentional. Another element of the throne is the word increase or expansion. And as we read Isaiah chapter 9, this is a beautiful passage. If you've never read Isaiah 9, start from the beginning because it talks about the work that is going to be done in people's lives stepping out of darkness because light's been shone on darkness, and that there is going to be an overwhelming sense of joy because there has been deliverance from oppression, right? So this is all happening, but it says in verse 6, the reason for all of this is this: for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You ever noticed it's only one name? It doesn't say his names are, it says his name is. There's some pretty long names out there, but this is the good long name. Because in the Bible days, not as much now, names were important. You named people because of qualities, characters, callings, family, heritage, all the sort of names meant something. It wasn't just a name, it was actually an idea of being, this is who this person is. And as we read the name given to Jesus, Wonderful Counselor. I wonder how many of us go to Jesus for our counsel, the Word of God for our counsel. Mighty God. Not just God, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. There's something about everlasting that makes me feel safe. Makes me feel safe because I know that he's there for the test of time. I know that he's been there from the beginning, and I know he's going to be there at the end. He's been there at the beginning of my journey. He's been there in the middle of my journey, and he's still there in my journey now, and he'll be there at the end of my journey on this earth, and he'll even be with me in the journey to come. Yeah. Same with you, right? Yeah. Everlasting Father. Praise God for that. And this one. We don't want to miss this one. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace is he. And it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. You know, the kingdom of God, the throne in which Jesus sits in, is expansionary. It's designed to expand, to increase. When the Holy Spirit was first poured out on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The church grew. But more than that, the kingdom of God grew. And it continues to grow today. But not only that, we grow. We mature. We step into new levels with Jesus. We go from one part of glory to another. We go from faith to faith. We go from one level to another in Christ. We are evidence of the fact that Jesus is sitting on the throne by your testimony. Evidences that. There will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. Who's looking for justice and righteousness? So many people in this world are looking for justice and righteousness, and they're not getting it in the world, can I say? They're getting a counterfeit justice, which is fundamentally a lie. True justice comes from the throne of God. True justice comes from Jesus Christ. True righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. And from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He's motivated. You know, when someone has got zeal or a passion for something, it's amazing what people will do when they have passion. It's amazing what they'll do. And here it says here that the zeal of the Lord will ensure that all of this happens. In fact, it's happening right now. I feel like there's something big in this passage. This is weighty. I think sometimes we read it and we go, oh, isn't that lovely? Jesus, lovely, son, you know. But there is so much weight in this passage of Scripture. There's so much weight. there is so much power that it radically can transform your life right now. It can heal you right now. It can deliver you right now. If you get your heart around, I don't say your mind, your heart, because we've got too much in our mind. We've got to get more into our heart. If we get our heart around this and we recognize the magnitude of Jesus on the throne right now, there is literally nothing stopping us. There is nothing stopping him to do what he wants to do in your life and in the life of those in your sphere of influence. There's nothing that can't happen. That's a powerful, powerful verse, that one. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Is this all making sense? You don't know how relieved I am. So, we've spoken about the intentionality. We've spoken about the increase. That all comes from the throne. I want to speak about this part now, which is the invitation, the inclusiveness of what Jesus is doing. We've actually touched on it a little bit. I just want to read verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. They're token prayers. We're not into token prayers. We're into heartfelt communion. We're into heartfelt relationship. Because God sees beyond the facade. He sees beyond the words. He looks at the heart. That's how he chose David as the king. He looked beyond. And he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this then, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's keep reading. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a wonderful prayer. But we don't need to make it repetitious. It's a beautiful prayer. So, I want us to focus on your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has invited us to bring heaven to earth. You see, what it says here is that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. So when God's will is being done here on earth, guess what? The kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. So for us as believers, this is critical because we have this incredible, let me say it again, incredible opportunity to bring heaven to earth. We have this incredible opportunity to see so many things happening in our life that it just brings glory to the fact that Jesus is sitting on the throne now in all power. You see, the Bible teaches us that he has given us all power and authority. All power and authority. In simple man's terms, that means he's given us all power and authority. Yeah? In other words, there's nothing that we don't have to bring heaven to earth. There's nothing that we don't have. In fact, the Bible says that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. It's in us. We don't have to cry out to God and say, God, I need you to help and do this for me. It's actually within us. I remember Moses when he was faced with going across the Red Sea, and he calls out to God, and God says, what are you crying to me for? Hold up the rod and start walking. Yeah, but there's water there. I don't care. You didn't hear me correctly. Hold up the rod and start walking. Heaven came to earth. a notable miracle that not only saved the Israelite people, but also decimated the world superpower at the time, all in a matter of an hour. As the angel said to Mary, with God all things are possible. There's nothing that's impossible with God. Right? And so we need to draw from that scripture, that example of the Israelites, and start to go, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Not because I've got confidence in me, or not because I think I've got the right words to say, or I've got this going on for me, or anything like that. No, my confidence is in Him. My confidence is in His authority, in His power. I've just got the confidence in it. Right? And so we have this incredible opportunity. And coming into Christmas, there is no greater opportunity, because this is the time when we get around people. This is the time where we're tested by people. Yeah, there's a few nods. This is the time where we get to connect with people who are making sense of what this is all about. And here we are with the answer within us. This is the moment. And I want to encourage us today, really encourage us, to recognize what we have within us. To recognize that this is a Christmas like no other Christmas. This is a Christmas like no other Christmas. This is the time to be bold. This is the time to be courageous. This is the time to stand up for what we believe in. This is the time to let people see the true risen Jesus. This is the time to allow people to experience His love. That prophecy word before, beautiful, about they will know true believers not by the miracles, but by the love that drives the miracles. It's the love behind it. Yeah, yeah. And so there's this great opportunity for us to do that. And Jesus has invited us, He's commissioned us actually, to step into this place, to step into it. And I feel like there's a door of opportunity this year that we can step into it like no other, like no other. Does that make sense? Excellent. It's always a miracle when that happens. All right. All right. There is nothing impossible with God. I want to speak maybe to those who are here that are not yet believers in Jesus. We've talked a lot about power and signs and wonders and miracles and Jesus sitting on a throne. And that can sound pretty like, well, that's pretty weird. But the reality is that Jesus was born a baby in a manger. He lived a life. He had a ministry in which He was empowered by God to impact the lives of those around Him. And boy, did He do that. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He delivered people from demonic oppression. He cleansed the leper. He also did some funny things like walking on water, feeding 5,000 people with a couple of fish and a bit of bread. He did some pretty wacky stuff. But it was all to prove something, that Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good man, but He is God in the flesh. That He is the Son of God. But His main reason for coming to earth was not to heal people or feed people, but it was to save people. Because we have a pandemic in us as people, and that's called the pandemic of sin. We were born with it, we've got it, we can't help it, it impacts our lives, and one day we're going to have to pay the price to God for our sin. Sounds like a bit of an unfair deal, doesn't it? And yet here's the thing, God says to us, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming to earth to satisfy my need for mercy and judgment and righteousness. I'm coming to earth in the form of Jesus. I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to die not for you. I'm going to die in your place. It's nice to know He died for us, isn't it? It's nice, but it's more than that. He died in our place. He died on our cross. And the beautiful thing is, by putting our faith into that moment radically changes everything for us, because we become born again on the inside, because the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and radically changes us. It takes away the power of sin in our life. It gives us a hope. It can take away all sorts of sickness, all sorts of challenge that we're experiencing, and He sets us into a new relationship with Him, which, can I say, is not an easy way to go. I think we'll all be testament to that. Walking a walk of Christianity is not easy. It's not chocolates and roses. But I tell you what, I'd rather do life with Jesus in the centre of it, knowing that I've got power and authority in my life to be able to overcome what comes my way, knowing that at the end of it, I've got an eternal inheritance with Jesus Christ. Some people call it the good news. I call it the extraordinary good news. It's the great news. It's more than good. If God Himself says, I'm going to pay your price, and I'm not going to ask anything else of you except just to believe in that and to walk in that, that's a great deal. If it sounds too good to be true, in the natural it probably is, but we're not talking about the natural. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about God and Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today to consider that, to consider where you are with Jesus. He can make a big difference in your life, because He has in mine, He has in many people here today, and He says that I don't respect the person. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no carve out there for you. You're included in that whosoever. That's pretty good, isn't it? Why don't we all stand?